إلا له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله, we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too, from Adam and Eve, many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. This morning's talk, the unifying element number one, At-Tawheed, is going to be, inshaAllah ta'ala, the recitation and the translation and the general meaning of verses 51 through 62 of Surah Al-Mu'mineen. A'udhu billahi minash shaytan ar-rajim. Qala Allah ta'ala, Ya ayyuhar rusul kulu min at-tayyibati wa'amalu saliha. إني بما تعملون عليم وإن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاتقون فتقطعوا أمرهم بينهم زبرا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون فذرهم في غمرتهم حتى حين أيحسبون أنما نمدهم به من مال وبنين نسارع لهم في الخيرات بل لا يشعرون إن الذين هم من خشية ربهم مشفقون والذين هم بآيات ربهم يؤمنون والذين هم بربهم لا يشركون والذين يؤتون ما أتوا وقلوبهم وجلة أنهم إلى ربهم راجعون أولئك يسارعون في الخيرات وهم لها سابقون ولا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها ولدينا كتاب ينطق بالحق وهم لا يظلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in these ayat from Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 51 to 62, as we translate, inshallah ta'ala. Allah, He says, O messengers, eat from the tayyibat and do righteous deeds. Indeed, I am Aileen, the all-knower of what you do. And indeed, this is your ummah, one ummah, and I am your Lord, so fear me. So they divided themselves up, each group happily rejoicing in its own program. So leave them alone in their deviance for a while. They think that because we increase them with wealth and children, that we hurry to do good for them. Rather, they're not aware. Indeed, those who live in awe out of fear of their Lord, and those who believe in the ayah of their Lord, and those who do not commit shirk with their Lord, and those who give what they give and their hearts are full of fear, because they know to their Lord is their return. They are the ones who hurry to do good deeds, and they are those who are foremost. And He does not burden a soul except with the ability that it has to bear. And we have a book that speaks the truth with us, and no one will be oppressed, when they will not be oppressed. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these verses, He begins by addressing His messengers, alayhimu salatu wa salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, O messengers, eat from the tayyibat and work righteous deeds. Indeed, I am aleem over what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing His messengers, alayhimu salatu wa salam, by commanding them to eat the tayyibat, and the tayyibat is the halal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding them to do righteous deeds, because Allah is alim over what they do. Allah is the knower of what they do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling His messengers, I'm aware of what you do. And if it's good, I'm going to reward you with good. And if it's bad, then I'm going to punish you because of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins this series of verses addressing His messengers, commanding them to eat the halal and to do righteous deeds. And the ulama of Islam, they explain that eating the halal helps us to do the righteous deeds. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions things together to show their relationship, as the ulama explained, that eating the halal would help us to do righteous deeds, so we should be conscious of what we eat. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, He says in the authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنا يستجاب له. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, He says, indeed Allah is طيب, and that He only accepts the طيب. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is طيب, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, free from any defect, and He only accepts the طيب, that which is good. And indeed Allah has commanded the believers with the same thing that He has commanded His messengers. So when we had begun this verse, O messengers, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers with the same thing that He has commanded His messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O messengers, eat from the tayyibat and work righteous deeds. Allah ta'ala also says, O you who believe, eat from the tayyibat that we have provided you with. And then He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He mentioned a man who was long in his journey, and his hair was disraveled, and he was raising his hands to the sky saying, O my Lord, O my Lord, and his food was haram, and his drink was haram, and his clothing was haram, and all of his provisions were from haram. So how is his dua going to be answered? Here Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing us to in this ayah, and that is that eating the halal is going to help us to do the righteous deeds.
And if we don't eat that which is halal, then our deeds will not be righteous. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed in this hadith, making it a little broader than just simply eating and simply doing righteous deeds. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he made this point broader by showing, as some of the ulama explain, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, is giving the man who has come from a long journey. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing that you can be doing a lot of hard work. And you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, accept all of this from me. But because you are engaged in the haram, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept it from you. If we want our good deeds to be acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make sure that what we eat is from the halal. And what we wear is from the halal. And that our means and our provisions is from the halal. And it's important for the believers here in the land of the disbelievers to pay attention to what we eat, as their food is haram. And not everything in this society is permissible for us to eat, and we have to be careful at what we eat. Not all of this clothing here that the disbelievers make in this land of disbelief is permissible for the believers to wear, so we have to watch what we wear, and we have to watch what we drink, and we have to watch where we work, and we have to watch where we go to school, because not everything in this country is permissible. And here you are believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but you're living in the haram where you work, or where you go to school, or the people you hang around, or the clothing that you wear, or the food that you eat, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept from you your worship. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is teaching us something very important in Islam. That doing your good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to have other parts or aspects of your life intact, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept from you your worship. And is there anyone pleased with establishing the salah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to have that acceptable in the sight of Allah? Is there anyone to fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to have that acceptable in the sight of Allah? No one will be pleased with his fast if it's not going to be accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to look at the rest of the aspects of our lives. Yarhamukallah. We have to look at the rest of the aspects of our lives to make sure that all of the aspects of our lives are in accordance with Islam. In accordance with the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we want those things that we do from the salah and the dua and the fasting and giving the zakat and making our hajj and the other acts of worship that we perform, if we want them acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to watch the other aspects of our lives, because we might be living in the haram, which would invalidate the rest of our deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger, and don't render your deeds null and void. Don't render your deeds null and void by your disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rest of the aspects of your lives. And this is, inshallah ta'ala, the meaning of the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, O messengers, eat from the tayyibat and do righteous deeds. Indeed, I am a'aleem over what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of what we do. And just because we make salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows if our wealth is in the haram. So don't think that I can make salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything is going to be okay. I can still be involved in the haram, because Allah is going to accept this and He's not going to know that I'm engaged in this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim, and He knows all that we do, and He's going to hold us accountable for what we do. If it's good, then He will reward us likewise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our good deeds and to reward us with Jannah. And if it's bad, then He can punish us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we're wrong or if we do bad deeds, that He accepts from us our forgiveness, and He overlooks us, and He rewards us subhanahu wa ta'ala from His mercy and His generosity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to the next ayah, and this is the point. And indeed, this is your ummah, one ummah, and I am your Lord, so fear me. And the other verse from Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Indeed, this is your ummah, one ummah, and I am your Lord, so worship me. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two verses, He's showing us that we are one ummah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, and we have to fear Him, and we have to worship Him. And we said yesterday in our talk that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or taqwa of Allah, is to obey Allah and what He has commanded, and to stay away from that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has prohibited. And then to worship Allah is to establish the tawheed in our lives. To worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is to establish the tawheed, or the statement La ilaha illallah, in our lives, or our purpose of life, by worshiping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, which is the theme of this conference, indeed this is your ummah, one ummah, and I am your Lord, so fear me and so worship me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a connection between us being one ummah and fearing and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or establishing the tawheed in our lives. So here we see from this, inshallah ta'ala, that among the unifying elements of this ummah is the tawheed, is the establishment of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in this ayat. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for the believers in other ayat, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Indeed, the brothers are only believers. The believers are only brothers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Al-Ali Imran, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, remember Allah's favor to you, and you were enemies, and Allah united your hearts, and you thus became brothers. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us of a point that we know in America, as many of us have accepted Islam, and others of us were already Muslims, that we are aware of this enmity or this hatred that used to be amongst ourselves before we have embraced this deen of Islam. And the days when we were disbelievers, we were enemies with one another, and we were definitely enemies to the Muslims before we had accepted Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to be mindful of this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this favor of Allah, that He alone united our hearts, and we became brothers because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His blessings upon us. And this is a point that we have to know, that it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can unite the believers, and that there's no organization, and there's no person, and there's no one thing that someone can do and to say, okay, alhamdulillah, now we're united. This would be dreaming, but it's by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission that the believers are united, and this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is merciful and generous to His believing, obedient servants. And if we want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upon us, and if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us as one ummah for establishing the tawheed in our lives, then we have to live our lives in belief in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and to live our lives in obedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make us one ummah, and to show His mercy upon us, just as He has showed His mercy on us, inshallah ta'ala, in this gathering, that He can show His mercy on the ummah at large in the world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite the hearts of the believers. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this word ummatun wahida, to make this word a real reality amongst the believers. This word ummatun wahida, as we're seeing and as we use it in general to say one ummah, and we all understand this in English to mean one nation, that this is your nation, this is your group, your one group of Muslims, so worship me. We understand this to be one group as one body of Muslims. And the other meaning of this verse is that which the ulama of Islam, they mention, and this is more proper and more correct and more precise, and the meaning of this ayah, as the ulama of Islam, they explain in their books of tafsir, and that is that this meaning of indeed this is your ummah, one ummah, meaning this is your deen, one deen. This is your way of life, one way of life. This is your religion, one religion. and it is the religion of giving da'wah to the worship of Allah alone with no partner. This is the meaning of this ayah, that there is one religion for you, and that there's one deen for you, and that deen is al-Islam. Inna deen عند الله al-Islam. Indeed, the deen with Allah is al-Islam. Indeed, the deen with Allah is al-Islam. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He means when He says, indeed, your ummah is one ummah. Indeed, your deen is one deen. And I am your Lord, so worship me. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he makes this point clear in the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, as he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَحْنُ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَا أُولَادُ عَلَّا دِينُنَا وَاحِد. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, we prophets, we are like children from the same father with different mothers. And our deen is one. Here's the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he's making the comparison with all of the prophets to a man who has many wives and many children. That all of the children from the different wives, they all have one father, but they have different mothers. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, he's comparing the prophets and their situation to this example. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam is saying, our deen is one. Meaning all of the prophets, their deen was one deen, and it's the deen of At-Tawheed. The establishment of the statement, La ilaha illallah, in the lives of humanity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on their tongues in the Quran, Ya qawmi, i'budullah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah. No God has the right to be worshipped other than Him. This is the statement of all of the prophets as their deen was one. However, their sharia, or the way of the different verdicts in Islam outside of the tawheed, it was different. But their belief was all one belief, and this was the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we're seeing from this understanding of this ayah, that your ummah is one ummah, meaning your deen is one deen, or your religion is one religion, that there's no unity. And there's no uniting element or unifying element amongst the believers other than the establishment of the Tawheed in our lives and paying importance to the Tawheed in our lives. To establish this in our lives, that there's no uniting or unifying except upon this Tawheed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam is showing us from the meaning of this ayah and from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is no unity except on the truth. And al-haqqu min rabbikum fala takunanna min al-mumtarin. And the truth is from your Lord, so don't be from among the doubters. If we're going to unite ourselves, if we're going to understand the unifying element among the Muslims, we have to understand that it's the establishment of this tawheed in our lives. The establishment of the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam in our lives. The establishment of the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way that it was understood and practiced by our Salaf al-Salih. If we establish this in our lives, we will be united, and if we don't, then there is no unity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to this in many verses in the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the beginning of Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. O you who believe, do not be forward or be in front of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O you who believe, do not decide an affair in your lives until you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger and those affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before we perform any act of worship, before we establish any belief in our hearts, before we do anything that we want to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to know the decision of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. That it is not proper and befitting for believing man or believing woman Once Allah and His Messenger has decided an affair, that you have a choice in that affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone clearly astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that we have no choice in our lives except to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam if we're going to be united as one ummah. And this is the path, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, whoever takes a path other than this, other than obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have gone clear astray. And this Qur'an and this Sunnah, it has to be understood and practiced in our lives the way that it was understood and practiced by the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Tabi'un, and the Tabi'u Tabi'un, and the scholars of Islam, generation after generation up to our generation, as this is the only unifying element that we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions this point to us in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 100, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the first foremost pioneers from among the muhajirin and the ansar, and those that follow them بإحسان, and those that follow them exactly in their practice and understanding of Islam, of the Quran and the Sunnah, then Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and He will enter them into Jannah, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever. And that is the greatest achievement. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is showing us that if we're going to be united as an ummah, if we're going to be together on the truth and the establishment of this tawheed, that we have to obey Allah and obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following the Quran and the Sunnah the way that it was understood and practiced by our Salaf al-Saleh. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in this verse, that Jannat and having the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by following the first foremost pioneers or predecessors of this deen from among the Muhajireen and the Ansar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes this point clearer in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَإِنْ آمَنْتُمْ بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنُوا بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. And if you believe in that which they have believed in, then you will be guided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us that we have to practice this book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way that it was practiced and understood by the Salaf al-Saleh. As no one, as I've mentioned many times, and some of my talk, that no one has received the Quran and the Sunnah in his mailbox, and that he's going to take the Quran and the Sunnah and practice it any way he likes, and to think he's going to unite the Ummah with his own personal understanding of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this Quran and the Sunnah and this truth of the establishing of the Tawheed in our lives, it was established by the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. That this day I perfected for you your deen and completed my favor to you and have chosen for you Islam as a deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had completed this deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were the ones who practiced this complete deen to the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. And that this is our only way to uniting ourselves is by holding fast to this truth, as there's no unity and there's no uniting and there's no being one ummah except that we follow the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way that it was understood and practiced by the Salaf al-Saleh, as this is establishing the Tawheed in our lives. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he made a statement that makes this point clearer to us, that the unity is the uniting on the truth and the following of the truth, and that the unity isn't that which we sometimes assume it to be. As one of the tabi'un, he assumed this as he was saying, it seems, as he was saying to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and this narration when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was said that the majority of the Muslims are astray, that the majority of the Muslims are off the path, And this tabi'i, he was saying, how could you say that? How can you say that the majority are astray when we've been commanded to hold on to the jama'ah? وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold on to the rope of Allah all together and don't be divided. You're saying that most of the people are astray. How are we going to be united when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be united? And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the majority of the Muslims are not the jama'ah. إِنَّمَا الْجَمَاعَةُ مَا وَافَقَ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ وَحْدًا. He said the majority of the people are not the jama'ah. The majority of the people being together is not the unifying element. But the jama'ah, or the unifying element, is that which agrees with the truth, even if you're one person. This being one ummah, you might have to be one person, like Ibrahim, Khalilullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ibrahim, he was an ummah by himself. He was the only one who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the only one who believed in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and worshiped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without ascribing any partners to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him an ummah by himself. And we have to understand that this being one ummah isn't necessarily uniting all of the Muslims and saying, we're together. But this ummah, one ummah, and being united is being united on the truth, even if you're one person. If you're one person, or one handful of brothers, or one group of brothers, following the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the understanding and the practical application of the salaf. If you're one brother establishing the tawheed and staying away from the shirk, then you are the jama'ah and you are the ummatun wahida. And because this is the uniting, unifying element, it's establishing the truth or the tawheed in our lives. So let's not be mistaken for numbers when we think about being one ummah. And when we think about uniting the Muslims, let's not think about just bringing the numbers together. But we should think about practicing the truth of Al-Islam. To practice the Islam that the way that it was when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions were there when this ayah was revealed, this day I have perfected for you your deen. This is the unifying element. And this is what we have to establish as Muslims, and it's not upon us to be deceived by the numbers. If we don't have the numbers, then we won't be together. If we don't have the numbers, then we won't be guided. If we don't have the numbers, then we're not doing something right. Where do we get this mentality from? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it very clear to us in many verses, as He does in these verses at the end of surah to Yusuf, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَكْفَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصَّ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And most of the people won't be believers no matter how eager you are to guide them to the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And that most of them won't believe in Allah anyway except that they can commit shirk too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, and in many verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, but most of the people won't believe. But most of the people will not know. But most of the people don't understand. Let's not think that the most of the people, or the majority of the people, that this is the unity, or that this is the being one ummah. But one ummah is following the truth. One ummah is establishing the tawheed. One ummah is practicing the Quran and the sunnah with the understanding of the salaf. This is being one ummah, even if you're one person. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to establish this tawheed in our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand the real unifying element. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand that unity is on the truth and on nothing else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, He tells us on this point, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْفُرْقَةِ. I command you, or I advise you, to hold fast to the jama'ah and be aware of division. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And this hadith, which is authentically collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanding us to the jama'ah, meaning commanding us to the truth, to the tawheed, and warning us from division, warning us from not accepting this truth, warning us from not practicing this truth, as this is the real division. We can all be in one room together, and someone looking from the outside, he looks, and it appears that everyone is united. But if the people do not have the same beliefs, and if the people do not have the same way of life, that even if they're in the same room, that they're not united. And how often have we seen this in our lives here in the land of the disbelievers? Maybe we're on our street, and everyone on the street isn't Muslim. Is everyone on that block united because everyone lives on that same block? Maybe in our workplace, all of us work together. We're all working for AT&T or whatever. And you think that this is AT&T's team. Are the people really united when you have believers and disbelievers? Maybe we go to the school, and we're sitting in the classroom, and someone is looking from the outside, and he thinks that everyone is paying attention to the teacher, and that all of those people are together and learning whatever field that they're learning. But the people aren't united simply because they're together with their bodies, but the real unity is in the belief. The real unity is in the establishment of the Tawheed. The real unity is in practicing the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the division is the leaving off of this. Even if you're in the same room, you're divided. Even if you're in the same room, you're divided. Even if you're in the same masjid, in the same organization, if you're not holding fast to this truth, then you're divided. And this dividing element is in our belief, and not just in the separation of where we live. Though this is a part of the separation, and this is a part of the division, but the real division is the leaving off of the Tawheed. And the leaving off of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say, and they divided themselves up into different groups, each one of them happily rejoicing in their own program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that each of them have divided themselves into their own program. Not that they have moved to different places, but that their program was different. Some of them were believers and some of them were disbelievers. Some of them followed the Prophet and some of them didn't follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each group living their lives according to their own program, to their own program of falsehood, thinking that it's the truth and that it's better than any other program. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's making this point clearer to us as He shows us that the people have been divided because each of them have their own program. And this is the real division, that each group of people have their own program and their own way of life, and that each group is living their way of life. This is the real division. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's calling us to be one ummah, to be united on this one deen, that this is the real unity, and let's not be fooled by other than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says also, showing the same statement in another verse from Surah Al-Rum, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ لِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I prohibit you from being like the disbelievers. Those who have divided their deen up into sects, each group happily rejoicing in its own program. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that He has prohibited us from dividing ourselves up into sects, into groups. But that if we're going to be one ummah, that we're going to be on one deen. That we're going to be on the establishment of the tawheed. As this is the only unifying element that is real. And this is holding fast to this deen of Al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He went on to say, and leave them alone in their deviance for a while. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's not saying this in order for us to think that He's letting them go. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, leave them alone for a while in their deviance. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying this as a warning. And to bring maybe this point closer to us is to think of a parent with a child. And the child did something bad in the house. And the father called home and he said, is everything okay? and the other child, he said, no, so-and-so broke that lamp. You told us not to go in the room and he broke the lamp. And he says, put so-and-so on the phone. Didn't I tell you not to break that lamp? Didn't I tell you not to go in that room? Wait until I get home. Does the child feel comfortable because he has some time until the father gets home? Wait until I get home. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave them alone for a while. Don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting them go because they're deviant. Don't think that if we don't establish this tawheed in our lives, that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us time before He establishes the hour, that we're okay. Oh, we're okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not established the hour. I still got some time to go. I'm going to be alright. But Allah subhanahu, and then to use the proof to say, see, Allah says, leave them alone for a while. Why are you bothering me? Why are you trying to call me to follow the Quran and the Sunnah on the understanding of the Salaf? Leave me alone, akhi. Do what you want to do. Don't you know Allah said, leave them alone for a while? If you think I'm so deviant, Allah tells you to leave me alone for a while. Not to leave you alone, that you're going to be okay, but that this is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah shows this as He goes on to say, do they think that we increase them with wealth and children, so that we hurry to do good for them? Rather, they don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do the people who have gone astray, do they think because they have wealth, and they have children, and they have status in this world, do they think that this is going to earn them a better place in Jannah? Does someone think that his job is going to earn him a place in Jannah? And by job, I make $150,000 a year. You only make $30,000. Do you think you're going to get a better place in Jannah for me? Look where you work at. How many children do you have? Only one? I have 15. I have 25 children. Does someone think that having all of these children is going to earn him a higher place in Jannah? Does someone think because his name is known? Don't you know who I am? Everybody knows who I am. I'm so-and-so. Everybody knows. Does he think that this status that he has, because everyone knows him, and that so-and-so is unknown, that this is going to earn him a place in Jannah? This is the understanding of the disbelievers. This is the understanding of the deviants. That they think that what they have accomplished in this world is going to earn them a place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only increases them with the things of this world in order to lead them farther astray. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just luring them to the hellfire by giving them more status and giving them more wealth and giving them more power. They think that this is going to get them to Jannah. And you see this understanding with the disbelievers. They think that as big as their armies get and the more countries that they conquer, they think that they're going to earn a place with Islam, a place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And when you call them to accept Islam, they say, we're going to join the oppressed. Here we are in America in charge of the world. You're going to tell us to accept the deen of the oppressed? We're oppressing the Muslims everywhere in the world, and you're calling us to be a Muslim? You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives them power in order to lead them farther astray. And they think that their power is going to earn them a place with Allah. This is because they don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say, indeed those who live in awe and fear of Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is switching over to the side of the real believer. And we know that this is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only set this up as a sign for us, so that we can know that we have to establish the tawheed in our lives. So that we can know the purpose of our lives of worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is what the signs are for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these signs for us to reflect upon them. And those who do not commit shirk with their Lord. Those who do not worship other than Allah along with Allah. Those who do not ascribe partners with Allah. These are the real believers as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing them here in Surah 2, Al-Mu'minun, the Surah of the Believers. They are the ones who do not commit shirk in their lives. That everything they believe in, that everything that they say, that everything that they do, that all of their acts of worship are sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. These are the real believers. And these are their characteristics. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to go on describing their characteristics, as He says, and they give out of what they give, or they do that which they do, and their hearts are full of fear,
because they know that they're going to meet their Lord. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's showing that the real believers, though they have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has them to believe in, though they make the statement of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul, and that they make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they make dua, and they make da'wah to the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and that they worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by establishing the salah in their lives, and fasting in their lives, and giving zakah in their lives, and the other acts of worship, their hearts are full of fear because they know that they have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is among the characteristics of the real believers, because the real believers, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to accept this from them if they're going to be okay, and they know that they have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And though they have established belief and good deeds, that they live in fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not accept this from them, as they know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, that if any belief or statement or deed or act of worship is going to be acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it has to fulfill the two conditions of being done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah in accordance with the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we can feel that our salah, for example, is done exactly like the salat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, as he has commanded, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Make salat that the way, as the way have you make salat, the way you see me make salat. If we make our salat to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and we feel that the salat that I'm doing, the way I'm doing it, is exactly the way of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam. If we have that type of comfort in our salat, do we have the same type of comfort that it is done sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, when we know we're thinking about what we're going to eat for dinner, and where we have to go today, and what we're going to do in our day when we're making salat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we still feel comfortable that He's going to accept from us our deeds? The real believers, they do what they do, and their hearts are full of fear because they know they have to meet Allah. And this is just to bring the example closer. Sometimes, and all of us, we went to school and we remember taking tests. And you take the test and you know you got all of the questions right, but still you know the teacher has to grade it. How'd you do? Inshallah ta'ala, I think I did well. What do you mean you think you did well? You study. You know if you answered the questions correctly or not. What did you do? We have to wait and see what the teacher says. If this is in this world, how much more in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to be the judge, and that everything is going to be fair? Is everyone happy with his deen to the level that I'm straight, I'm from among the people of Jannah, I have nothing to worry about, I'm over? The real believers, they live their lives of trying to perfect their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They live their lives trying to perfect their intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they have that fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not accept. And this isn't any doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the believers, they know that Allah is truthful in His promise. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's going to reward the believers, the true believers, they know that Allah will reward them. But their fear is that they haven't actually perfected their intentions, or they haven't actually perfected their worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the ones who hurry to do good deeds, and they are the ones who are going to be foremost in Jannah. Those ones who have these characteristics. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains this point in the hadith, which is authentic inshallah ta'ala, and it's collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, الذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة هو الذي يسرق ويزني ويشرب الخمر وهو يخاف الله عز وجل." قال: "لا يا بنت الصديق، ولكنه الذي يصلي ويصوم ويتصدق وهو يخاف الله عز وجل." عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, "O Messenger of Allah," and she's questioning him about this ayah in the Quran,
those people who do what they do and their hearts are full of fear, are they the ones who steal and commit fornication and adultery and use intoxicants? And then they fear Allah that He's going to punish them for what they do? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, daughter of a Siddiq. And this is on top of the point that we were mentioning yesterday when the person said, is a Siddiq referring to Abu Bakr? And here the Prophet ﷺ, he says, no, the daughter of a Siddiq. And this is showing that a Siddiq is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No daughter of Siddiq. This ayah is referring to the people who make salah and who fast and who give charity and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the other narration, وَلَكِنَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُصَلُّونَ وَيَصُومُونَ وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَهُمْ يَخَافُونَ أَلَّا يَتَقَبَّلَ مِنْهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in this narration, rather they are the people who make salah and fast and give charity and they fear that it won't be accepted from them. They are the people who hurry to do good deeds. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in these verses that the people who fear standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the believers who try to perfect their worship of Allah. They are the believers who try to perfect their intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people who really hurry to do good deeds, and these are the people who have the highest place in Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct our understanding of these ayat. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who fear the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who try to perfect their intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who try to perfect their worship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us foremost among the people of Jannah. As this seems to be a burden on us, we have so much from our belief and our deeds. Who can handle all of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He finishes these ayahs off with, and no soul will be burdened with a burden except that it can handle it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, He's been generous to us by making this deen easy, and that there's nothing in it except that we have the ability to handle it, alhamdulillah. So if we fall short, then we have no one to blame except our own selves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not burdened us, walhamdulillah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and we have a book with us that will speak the truth. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attempting to humble the believers by telling us that there is a book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this book won't miss any small deed or any big deed except that it will take it to account. This deed is going to speak the truth of what takes place, and no one will be oppressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and this is to help us get this meaning closer to us. Allah is telling us that there is a book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that speaks the truth, and no one will be oppressed. We know how we would live our lives if we knew that the police had our phone tapped and they had video cameras watching every single thing we do wherever we are. You can imagine who would break the law then. Who would break the law if he knows that there was a video camera satellite somewhere watching every single movement that we did? And there was some supersonic microphone that listened to every word that we said. Is there anyone that would be disobedient to the government then? And we already see, as I was making the example yesterday, if we see the police on the highway, we make sure that we're doing the speed limit. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us of something greater than any technology could ever have. And that is the knowledge of Al-Alim, the All-Knower. And that He has a book that won't miss anything, except that it will be taken into account. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold all of us accountable for everything that we do, and everything that we believe in, and everything that we say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making this point to make it clear to the believers who really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there's no burden in Islam, alhamdulillah, and that this deen is easy, and that it's one deen, the deen of Tawheed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and He's aware of everything that we do. And if we do right, He's going to reward us,
And if we do wrong, He's going to punish us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the success in making everything that we do right, and then rewarding us with it with the best reward. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us away from sin and from mistakes. And that if we fall into it, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our forgiveness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, the brothers have any questions, they can come up, ask the questions, and the sisters can write down the questions and either send them on the site to a child or just write them through the door or here from the office. Please feel free to ask any questions you may have concerning the problem.
You spoke about the intentions, and say for example, if we're in the masjid and we know people are looking at us or making halal, this is the hardest time to correct our intentions. My question is, when things like this happen of this nature, and when it's the hardest to correct the intentions in the middle of the action when people are looking at you, what are ways to prevent, you know, the riya in that situation?
Your question is a little difficult, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best as the answer. I'll make a statement, and I'm not saying that it's an answer to your question, but that is that the believer in general, as we're seeing in these ayat, that he lives his life by trying to perfect his intention as best he could, and by trying to perfect his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as best he could, and then he lives with a little fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not accept it, though he's living with the hope that Allah is going to reward him for his deeds. This is the way of the believer, that he lives his life trying to perfect his niyyah and trying to perfect his ibadah, and then he's always in fear that he didn't do it. So when you look and you feel that the people are looking at you, and you find that it's hard to keep your intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah ta'ala, this is a good feeling. And all of us, we should feel the struggle of trying to perfect our intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trying to perfect our worship to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. All of us should feel the pressure of trying to do this perfection. And this is the way of the believer, as opposed to the disbeliever. You see, the disbelievers blindly wandering on and enjoying themselves. As many of the times when I go past the toll booth, I ask the one, "Are you Muslim?" He says, "No." I said, "You're not? Well, you can be a Muslim right now if you repeat after me, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu." He says, "No, I'm happy with what I'm on." This is a disbeliever. He lives a life of sin and disbelief and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's happy. This is a disbeliever. He's comfortable with his life of being a criminal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believer, he's always trying to perfect his worship, and he always feels the pressure of trying to please his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in his niyyah and in his worship. So this is the life of the believer, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing in these ayat, the characteristics of the believer. This is how they live their lives. So if a person, if he feels the pressure of trying to keep his niyyah sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then this is good, and this is a sign of belief, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Once again, if the sisters have any questions, they can write them down and send them over here. If the sisters have any questions, they can write them down and send them over here to a chat. Right now we'll just let the brothers ask them.
In the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned ayah from Quran that spoke about that we should, before we do an act, make sure it's according to, or pleasing to Allah. I missed the actual verse.
That's from Surah Al-Hujurat, the first verse. That's Surah number 49. Yeah, verse number 1. And they usually translate this verse something like, "Do not be forward over Allah and His Messenger," or something like that. And I was explaining that the ulama of Islam, they explained that what is meant by "لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله," it means don't decide an affair in your lives until you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger first, and then proceed. Meaning, don't establish a belief in your life that unity means getting everybody together, and so you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't think that I'm going to establish Salah any way I want to, but know the verdict of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before you establish what you establish in your life. And this is the meaning of the verse. And at times, and I hope that the brothers and the sisters, they forgive me if this is a shortcoming of mine, but if I translate the verses, that many of the times I don't give a straight literal translation, but that I incorporate in my translation the tafsir, or the meaning that the ulama of Islam, that they give to the ayat, in order to make the meaning fuller to us. As the Quran is an Arabic book, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity. And we have to learn Arabic, and we have to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. And when we translate it and we bring it to our language, it's upon us to bring the meaning to it. And this is why we see in the newer translation of the Noble Quran, that he calls it the meaning of the Quran, and not just the translation. So at times when I bring the translation of the verse, I'm trying to actually bring the meaning and not just a literal word for word translation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.
First I want to say that I'm very happy to be here, and I inshallah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get us all to his obedience. The first thing is about the tawheed and unity between the Muslims in a community, different community. We are commending as Muslims to commending good and furthering evil, as I understand. But now there are some people, you know, that when you commending good to them, they say, why you bring fitna to the community? Why are you doing this? Why are you forbid? Because I, as my understanding, and the Sheikh will correct me if I'm wrong, there is one way and one path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, one truth. And we have to forbid evil. And then a lot of people say, we should accept everybody. If they want to do this like this, let them do it. And accepting love and this and that. And sometimes we lose our deen. So what is your advice to concrete a little bit? The advice, not hurting people's feelings toward the correct propaganda in the deen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Messenger of Allah, when he sent his companions out to give da'wah, he used to tell them, Bashiru wa la tunaffiru, wa yassiru wa la tu'assiru. And this is the advice for the rest of the ummah. When they're giving the da'wah and they're calling people to Islam, or they're advising the Muslims, that we take this advice of the Messenger of Allah, be inviting and don't chase the people away. And be easy and don't be hard. So this is the advice that we have when we want to bring the message to the people, and no one is a guardian over anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to tell His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam in many verses, it's upon us to be as soft and as gentle and as easy as we can possibly be in bringing the truth from our Lord tabarak wa ta'ala. After we've done that, we've done our job. Get that stuff away from me, you're causing fitna. Jazakallahu khairan. Because our duty is to bring the message. We're not guardians over anyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, and we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's never made us responsible for the people accepting our message, or we would all be finished. If every time we went to a person with the truth, he rejected it, Allah punished us, where would we be? Who would be left on the earth? You call him to Islam, you quote the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, and he rejected, Allah punishes you. If you call a Muslim to practice the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he doesn't, Allah punishes you. We would be finished. So alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not entrusted us with this responsibility, because none of us would be ready to handle it. And if I do it, I would never call anyone to Islam. If I knew that they didn't accept it, Allah would punish me. And nor would we call the Muslims to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when they deviated away from it, if we thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish us if they didn't. And when we know that our duty is only to bring the message, then we're okay. Because if he accepts it or he rejects it, it doesn't hurt us. Except that we feel sad for the person and sorry for the person who doesn't accept the truth of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that this would only make us more compassionate to him when we bring the proof to him the next time. And that this would only make us more gentle when we bring it the next time. We enjoin what is right and we forbid what is wrong the best way that we could.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, Muhammadur Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. That Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and those who are with them are harsh to the kuffar, and they are merciful amongst themselves. So we have to be merciful to the Muslims. And as we were mentioning throughout our talk, that's just understanding, oh, just let everybody do whatever he wants to, everything is okay, and this is unity. That this is a misunderstanding in Islam. And that unity is uniting on the truth. Unity is establishing the Tawheed. Unity is obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unity is following the Quran and the Sunnah on the understanding and practical application of the Salaf al-Salih. This is real unity. And this is the truth. And we should explain it to the people, accept it who accepts it, and reject it who rejects it. But if the people reject our message when we bring it to them, let's not get upset. Because we're not responsible for them accepting or rejecting it. Alhamdulillah. So we shouldn't be upset because they don't reject it. And then we should look at our own lives and to know that yesterday, we were the ones who rejected the truth.
There was one of the questions that was sent by the sisters. I think it is more appropriate to be asked tomorrow at from 4:30 to 6 in the workshop on the lawful and the prohibited in Islam, because it's more a question of fiqh than related to the topic. And there is another question.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Back home in our community, for the sake of our brothers here in Pittsburgh, in case you come to Pittsburgh, we have some problems that deals with certain types of beliefs that are established on the basis of Africanism, nationalism, and skin color ism, I call it, for us here in America, particularly in Pittsburgh. But for your knowledge and understanding of Islam, I would like if you can express your opinion in this, in terms of some of us brothers who have come here to try to sort of get a little better, clear understanding as to how we can deal with this issue. JazakAllah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commands us to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger and not to differ, as this would make us failures and weaken our strength. But Allah commands us to be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. This is the best advice that I can give myself and the believers, that we have to hold fast to obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to stay away from differing, as this differing will make us failures and losers, and it will take away our strength. And be patient, indeed Allah is with the patient. There's no way that we can run from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with. If Allah wants some evil to come to a people, no one can turn it away. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with in these days of fitna, all of us, we have to be patient with it. And to continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being obedient to Him and obedient to His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. This problem is like the other problems that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the solution of obedience to Him and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and following the deen of al-Islam. If we're doing what's correct, and as I'm hearing in your question, other people aren't doing what's correct, we're going to have to call them to the truth and then to be patient with them until they practice it. But there's no other solution to say, do this and then everything is going to be okay. The believer is patient. The believer is patient with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him with. And this is why the Messenger of Allah is amazed at the believer, because he's always happy and he praises Allah. If everything goes his way, alhamdulillah. And if everything doesn't go his way, alhamdulillah. Because nothing could take place except the way that Allah decreed it to be. So this is the life of the believer. He's always happy and content because he knows that nothing is taking place except the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed things. He knows that his purpose in life is to worship Allah. And he keeps that in front of him, and he tries to live his life in obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Let me just take these questions of the sisters, inshallah. The question of unity in a community, geographically, in day-to-day life, how do you deal with groups with different visions? Mm-hmm. Especially when policies that lead your life depend on groups with different visions.
However believers.
I'm not very clear on this question, and maybe the person who asked it can ask it again, but I could make a point, and that is that all of the believers, we should look at our leases, or we should look at where we live, and to see when our lease is up, or for the houses that we own, to see how we can buy another house or to get another lease that is going to be closer to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be closer to the believers instead of being geographically separate. Because this unity is in our belief and the establishment and the practice of Islam. And a part of the practice of Islam is living together as Muslims and not living separately among the disbelievers. And then once we live together, then we're going to have the rest of the struggles of practicing Islam. And there's no such thing of this way of the Jehovah Witnesses, peace on earth as it is in heaven or something. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us to worship Him, and we have to establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times, and the believer is going to be patient with all of them. The solution to all of our problems is practicing Islam. And it's that simple. And so long as we're obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're okay. And so long as we aren't, then we're not okay. Concerning eating of the tayyibat, of that which is permissible, is it permissible to take medications in which the capsule is derived from the bones of beef which was not Islamically slaughtered? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible for us is permissible, and what He has prohibited us is prohibited. And definitely animals that have been slaughtered for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are haram for the believers. They are haram for the believers, and if they make something out of them, then they're likewise going to be haram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Yes. We'll just turn inshallah 2 more minutes.
What was your response to a statement that some individuals say where I live? They say that we're all Muslims, and the different groups have different ideas, but it represents a facet of Islam. You have like the Hizb Tahrir, so they're the political wing. You have the Ikhwan Muslimin, it's not a political wing. You have the Salafis, they're like, they have the knowledge, and the Tabi'is have the taqwa or whatever. They say we get together and we unite, then we really do something.
The first point is, being groups has never been made permissible in Islam, as we mentioned the ayah. Do not be like the disbelievers in Surah Al-Rum, verse number 30 and 31, I think it is, 31 and 32. Do not be like the disbelievers who have divided their deen up into sects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from dividing our deen up into groups. You got a group, I got a group, and every group is better than the next group. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, He warned us of these times to come from the hadith of Hudhayfa. And I hope that one of the brothers in one of their lectures brings this long hadith of Hudhayfa where he says that the people used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi about the good times, and I used to ask them about the bad times for fear that I wouldn't fall into it. Any rate, the hadith goes down, so they spoke of the bad time where there wouldn't be a Khalifa for the Muslims, and that the Muslims would break up into groups. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, what should I do? And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا. And this hadith from Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, stay away from every group. So all of those groups, we've been commanded to stay away from them, walhamdulillah. The other point of putting the Salafis with those other people, this is the injustice. This is like the disbelievers, they say, and then I'll bring it back to us inshallah. They say, why do you say Islam is correct? Everybody got a religion. What makes your religion correct? You have the religion of Islam, which is the truth, and then you have all of the other religions. All of the other religions are in one group called disbelievers. And then you have Islam. So no one should make the comparison of all of the religions in the sense like everybody has some type of validity to their religion. No. There are a whole bunch of religions are falser than there's the correct religion. Al-Islam. This is the same thing in Islam. When the Muslims have divided themselves up into groups, one of them is the Firqatul Najiyah. And they are the ones who adhere to what the Prophet ﷺ adhered to and his companions, and among their characteristics is the name Salafi. That means that they adhere to what the Salaf adhered to. And among their characteristics is Al-Firqatul Najiyah, or the safe set. And among their characteristics is Al-Ta'ifatul Mansurah. And among their characteristics is Ahlul Hadith. And among their characteristics is Ahlul Athar. These are characteristics for the people among the Muslims who remain on the same thing that the Prophet ﷺ and his companions were upon. So let's not mention this with the rest of the people as if every group has some type of validity to them. No, you have the people who are Salafi, inshallah ta'ala. And we're saying that this methodology is the only true, correct methodology of Islam, and then you have all of the other groups. And please don't be confused. And don't misunderstand my statement that anyone who says I'm a Salafi, then that means that he's correct. And that he's right. And that he represents the truth. Never. And just because someone he says he's in such and such a group or such and such a group, I'm not saying that he as an individual is astray and he's wrong. But we're saying as the group, those groups are off it and this is the correct way. When it comes to the individual, then there's a different story, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us. And we can make this point clearer by saying, is every Muslim practicing Islam? To say, if you want to know the truth, then look at his life. Is there a Muslim from among us that we can point out and say, if you want to know the truth, then just look at him. Everything he says, believes in, and does is Islam. There's no one from among us who we can point the finger to. So when we say that this is the only correct, true methodology, and this is the Salafi way, that we're not saying that everyone who says that he follows this way represents the truth himself. No, but we're saying that this way is the correct way, and this is the way that we should be striving, and this is the way that we should be following. Just as we say that over all of the religions, the way that you should be following is Islam. But we're not saying because you follow Islam means that everything that you do is actually correct.